Septula doesn't miss a thing. You got to come strong. If you come at all, you better come strong. Get out of my way. Gonna come and shine. Tell you what I've got. Road rage. Nothing you can do. You're gonna get into road rage. Road rage. Road rage. Love that he doesn't care. He keeps on breaking it down. Can't get enough of him. He stands alone above the crowd. You got to come strong. If you're coming, all you better come strong. Get out of my way. Gonna call my shot. Tell you what I've got. Road rage. Nothing you can do. You're gonna get into.
Welcome to the Road Rage. We are WCCP 105.5 The Roar. We are back. You want to get in the conversation? 654-7627. Hey, Ramona.
Yes?
That guy put that windshield in a half hour.
I know. I saw how fast he was.
I had no idea.
It's awesome.
I would have thought that took a while. No, like a half hour. Done. Maybe I'll break my windshield more often.
Yeah.
You want to get in 654-7627.
I would think that would be a good idea.
No, I have another Jeep with a crack in it too.
The other one has a crack in the windshield also?
Yeah.
Well, you're just full of stuff.
Yeah, I don't know how that one happened either. Big Bad Bob. Bob.
Yes. Wow.
How are you, Bob?
Oh, you're having such bad luck. Cars and windows smashed.
It'll happen.
Were you out in the woods somewhere and somebody smashed it, a punk or something like that? Or, is that what happened?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Anyway, listen, I heard you talk about the Mac. KO Mac wanting all that money. I think the owners would probably pay them some money, but the guarantee money, like the Luck deal, and I was reading, like, Aaron Rodgers wants to be the highest paid player in NFL, and he's hanging with the Dalai Lama now, waiting on a contract, and he's worried about Gordy Nelson leaving, and I guess it's because Aaron Rodgers wants so much money. There's a cap, right? What is the cap of each team?
Well, no, the cap...
What is it?
Well, no, look, the cap...
The total cap, I don't know how that works.
The cap changes every year.
Yeah, and they can't be paid with so much money, so... And the guarantee money seems like...
Well, look, the point...
It's going to be hard to dole out that kind of stuff if they get hurt and stuff like that.
Well, see, that's the thing. I mean, they're going to pay Khalil Mack, okay? There's no question the Raiders are going to pay Khalil Mack because he's the best defensive player or one of the two or three in all of football. So they're going to pay him. That's inarguable. But the issue is, and what people don't understand, is when you put such a large percentage of your salary cap into one player, what happens when that player gets hurt? Not to mention the fact you can't build the body of your team if you're paying one or two guys. So you have to make choices. And New England's understood these choices for a million years. And yet I constantly am besieged by these idiots who sit there and say things like, well, I don't understand what New England's doing. I don't understand why they're like, that's because you don't understand the salary cap. And you're probably a fan of some team that sucks because your team doesn't understand the salary cap either. If you understand the salary cap, when these marginal players, I'm sorry, that's what Danny Amendola is. That's what that's what Nate Sauder is. Listen, 50 years from now, when people talk about the great tackles of all time, no one's ever talking about Nate Sauder. I'll tell you that right now. Nate Sauder, the notion that Nate Sauder is the highest paid offensive tackle in the NFL is a lot like Kirk Cousins being the highest paid quarterback or something. It's laughable. You know, it's just, right. It's an absurdity that you, and so if you have any common sense, you can't pay guys more than they're worth because there's no way you're going to be able to build a team. So you fill in. Sometimes you leave yourself a little deficient in some areas. Sometimes you have to let some potential borderline stars go. But what you do is you restart the clock. So in other words, if the New England Patriots let Nate Sutter go, they can go out and add another offensive tackle in this draft and pay him the rookie salary slot and restart the clock for 5 years. And so they'll be set with him for 5 years. And then at the end of 5 years, you know what they're going to do? They're going to let him go too.
Right. Yeah, they let a bunch go. And LeGarrette Blount might have heard them. They let him go, but they, in the long run, they let people go. And I read somewhere where Brady will reduce his salary to help the cap.
Well, he's done that.
And
he's done that.
Philadelphia players, some of them are reducing their salaries.
Yeah,
but
Brady's
like
done
Aaron
that for
Rodgers
years.
Was complaining about Jordy Nelson, and he's wanting his salary to go up. That's why they probably had to get rid of Jordy, I guess. Well, he's a free agent. But, yeah, you're right. I don't know how they can pay one player. Like Luck, are they going to have to get a quarterback?
Well, again, look. I think they think Jacoby Brissett can play if Luck can't play. But if you're going to invest heavily in a quarterback, you better be right. You know, again. Teams are desperate, all right? They're desperate at the quarterback position. That's why the San Francisco 49ers at one point paid Colin Kaepernick $100 million. That's why the Cincinnati Bengals paid Andy Dalton $120 million. I mean, the Atlanta Falcons right now are trying to figure out how they're going to pay Matt Ryan. And Matt Ryan's going to have one more main deal that's going to set him up for life. And considering he's never done anything except win a church and a mural basketball title, I'm not 100% sure that you want to tie yourself to Matt Ryan long term, but the Falcons feel like they have no choice, and they feel like he's an upper echelon quarterback. And I understand their position, but you better be right if you're going to pay. The Bengals weren't right. The Bengals paid Andy Dalton $120 million. He couldn't win a pump, pass, and kick competition against 12-year-olds.
Well, how many quarterbacks will go in the first two rounds? A lot.
Well,
there's a lot of quarterbacks out there, aren't they?
Well, look,
they're good, I guess.
Look, I think right now, if you ask me, I think five will go in round one, and I think I think one will go in round two, and then you get into the great debate of whether guys like Luke Falk and Kyle LaLetta and Mike White are worth a pick in the first three rounds or not. I don't think they are. Of the group, I would take Mike White. But and I actually like all three of those guys for different reasons. So, you know, if you need a quarterback, yeah. I guess you take one.
Well, picking this draft is tougher than ever, Walt. So good luck on that.
Thank you, bud.
Enjoy the show.
Thank you, bud. Appreciate the call. Let me get to Scotty and Seneca. Brandon Pickett says, tell Bob to take a damn breath. Give you a second to respond. Well, you know, it's a give and take. It's all good. Scotty and Seneca on the Northland Communication phone line. Scotty, what's going on?
Well, I didn't get a chance to call because the Bulldogs were showing Clemson something yesterday.
Scotty, talk a little Georgia baseball smack. Hey, Scotty, you only had five hits. Your Bulldogs. Hey, you're a Louisiana guy, so what are you doing cheering for Georgia anyway, you LSU?
I don't know. We've got the national championships hung up in Baton Rouge.
I see. Georgia only had five hits. The mistake Clemson made was, you know, Clemson's pretty good about not walking guys.
Well, Clemson changed their style from the one you hate to wait for the three-run long ball. That's what they're doing now. So,
well, I don't know. They walk seven guys yesterday. That's something they don't normally do.
Well, they're second in the ACC at home runs, so you can't complain about the batting average too much. My question was, you were hard bent on, if you're cheating, you're not going in the Hall of Fame.
Whoa. Time out. Let me just clarify, because that's not what I said. What I said was, I would never vote you in the Hall of Fame. And there's a distinction in those two positions. I didn't say.
Oh yeah, there's a difference. I understand.
Yeah, I didn't say that. I didn't say none of those guys will ever get in. My hope is that they never get in.
My question is more to the logic of it. When I don't disagree, steroids will help you hit a ball out of the ballpark, out of the stadium, out of the county. But when it comes to pitching, that's acceptable cheating.
No.
I don't understand that.
No, it's not. No,
well,
it's not. I wouldn't put Roger Clemens. I wouldn't put Roger Clemens in either. Oh, I see. Scotty, you're going old school on me. So you're going Gaylord Perry Spitter on me. Is that it?
Oh, yeah. Gaylord Perry Eckersley, what? First ballot, Hall of Fame. Only person I ever seen thrown out of a World Series game.
Yeah. Well,
he was first ballot Hall of Fame.
Yeah, you know,
he was caught cheating.
Yeah, that's you know, it's funny, Scotty. It's funny. That's an interesting point, and it's a valid point. But and my answer may not satisfy you, but in this particular regard, but my answer would be that the notion of the spitball has been part of the game since its inception. And most often, Scotty, it's just a mind game. Most often, it's a mind game. I mean, don't get me wrong. Were there times Gaylord Perry loaded up the baseball? Yeah. But for every time he did, there were probably 100 times he didn't that people just had convinced themselves. You know, Gaylord Perry played mind games with hitters, and that's what made him so great, because his stuff certainly wasn't great.
Well, you know, I mean, you can take that philosophy or New England. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, again, I think steroids is just a totally different type of cheating. And I acknowledge that, you know, hey, listen, if you pine tarred the bat too high, that was cheating, you know, but all those things are like traditional elements of the game. They just are. And it's always been sort of this cat and mouse game as to whether pitchers could get away with loading up the ball or not. And it's been, it's just sort of part of the fiber of the game. And that's my answer. I know it's not a great answer, and you can rightfully say, well, cheating is cheating, but again, one thing, the notion of loading up baseballs has been part of the game since its inception. And as I said, Scott, I think more often than not, yeah, I'll bet you if you ask Gaylord Perry, he would tell you he loaded up one baseball for every like 100 pitches, and people thought that, you know, it was like every pitch.
Well, I like the way the rules are written, where you can have that old Chicago White Sox owner get that vertically challenged person in there, 3 foot high.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Bill Vec sent, Bill Vec sent the midget up to the plate to walk. Little person. He was a midget then.
Yeah.
Go read the stories. It says midget. Yeah, he did.
Well, that's all I got, Walt.
Thank you. Thank you, Scott. Yeah, Bill Vec was like P.T. Barnum. He was he was one of these guys who was going to try everything. So, yes, he once sent a 36-inch tall guy to the plate, and knowing that he would walk. and he walked, because obviously he had a very small strike zone. Let me tell you about The Vault, 213 North Main Street in Greenville. Coolest retro sports apparel store anywhere. It's The Vault. It just doesn't get any better. Trust me when I tell you this. Get out to The Vault. They have all your teams. They had all the NCAA tournament teams. You can still get the NCAA tournament teams at The Vault. But if your sport is baseball or football or the NHL, The Vault is an NHL section. The NHL playoffs, we're embarking on the NHL playoffs. It's all here right now in the world of sports, and you can get it all at The Vault, the coolest retro sports apparel store anywhere. I'm telling you right now, when you get shirts at The Vault, instantly going to be your favorite shirts. They're American-made, pre-washed, pre-shrunk. They feel great on. You're going to absolutely love them. Buy one cap, get the second cap half off. That's the vault. 213 North Main Street in Greenville. Get out there today. We'll be back.
Zero-turn mowers with unlimited possibilities. Now for $200 off. For a limited time, Cub Cadet is offering up to $200 off select residential lap bar zero-turn mowers. The Cub Cadet RZTL series combines responsive lap bar-controlled zero-turn handling and outstanding comfort, giving you unmatched stability and versatility to help bring your lawn to life. Visit CubCadetDealers.com to find your local independent dealer and take advantage of this exceptional offer. Not eligible on other models. Specifications and programs are subject to change without notice.
Spring has sprung and it's time to travel. Why not travel on a set of Yokohama radial tires from Steve's Tire and Service in Easley? Steve's Tire and Service would also like to tell you that April 1st through 30th, you have the chance to earn up to a $70 mail-in rebate with the purchase of a set of four Yokohama Geolander, Invigor, Ascend, or Advance Series tires. That means you can save money on a wonderful set of tires. Stop by or give Steve's Tire and Service in Easley a call at 859-1361.
Washington has come to its senses by reducing our tax burden. Now we can take advantage to reinvest in ourselves and our businesses to continue our economic growth. I'm George Jeffries with Metal Building Supply Company. It's a great time to start that business dream of yours or perhaps expand or refurbish your existing facilities. Come see us or call us at 864-295-0506. Talk with me or Kevin Brown about how we can help you. And God bless America.
You really don't need a special reason or a special occasion to shop at Reed's Jewelers. Simply put, anytime you step into Reed's, the award-winning staff will be sure you leave with a smile and what you came for. From diamonds for her to watches for him, Reed's has it. And to help you with your purchase, ask the Reed's team about their extended payment plans. Jewelry is about relationships that last a lifetime with your loved one and with your jeweler. Reed's Jewelers, online at Reed's.com. In Haywood Mall, next to Belk.
The South Carolina Football Hall of Fame Enshrinement Ceremony, presented by IAG and Ingalls, will honor the class of 2018, April 19th at the Embassy Suites at Verde. Come watch history in the making. The evening includes dinner, drinks, and a one-of-a-kind silent auction. Don't miss your chance to hear from local football heroes and watch the best South Carolina college football player in 2017 receive the Blanchard Rogers Trophy, presented by Hales Jewelers. For information on the inductees and to purchase your tickets, visit schof.org/shop.
With 11 different apartment communities in the Clemson area, Burton Properties want you to know there are apartments ready for lease. In the Heritage at Riverwood and Heritage Point, they have units available for any size you need, and they are also reserving for the fall. Please visit their website at clemsonapartments.com. That's clemsonapartments.com. Or call 653-7717 or 654-1130. Burton Properties is family-owned and operated, and their family looks forward to serving you.
Just when you thought it couldn't get any better, now the Butcher's Block in Anderson is serving breakfast. Open at 6:30, the Butcher's Block will be serving fresh baked from scratch biscuits. All kinds of biscuits starting at $1.89. Sausage, bacon, egg, cheeseburger biscuit, sausage and gravy, fried chicken biscuit, ribeye and filet mignon. Add hollandaise and an egg to make it Benedict style. Lots to choose from. Get creative and make your own. There's also scrambled eggs, grits, and low country shrimp and grits. Get the combo and get your choice of milk, coffee, tea, or soda. Don't do fast breakfast food. Do fresh breakfast food at the Butcher's Block every morning at 6:30, Tuesday through Friday. Use our convenient drive-thru and make breakfast good again. The Butcher's Block, located at 1702 North Main Street in Anderson. Don't forget our catering service and our delicious meals to go for those on the move. The Butcher's Block, good fresh food all day long.
Rage with Walt Zepsula on 105.5 The Roar.
You did, but you did.
Walt Eptula, Road Rage. We're WCCP 105.5 The Roar. We are back. You want in? 654-7627. That is the number to call. Ernie on the Northland Communication Phone Lines. Ernie, welcome back.
Hey, thanks. Yesterday I was asking what I should think of some of these guys that are in that. I mean, we know somebody, several people in the hall, it's inevitable, have used PEDs, and I threw out a few names. I'd watched kind of the arc of their careers, and, you know, circumstantially, there were some questions I had about Piazza, Bagwell, and Pudge Rodriguez,
right,
and just wanted to get your perspective.
Yeah, here's the dilemma, and admittedly, Ernie, this is the gray area. Those players have been rumored PED users, but to my knowledge, there's nothing that approaches proof with any of them. At least to my recollection, there's nothing. There's been rumor and speculation and innuendo, but to my knowledge, there's not been any sort of proof, any sort of demonstrable, credible proof that any of them used. Now, I think that because they've frequently been discussed as potential users, you know, they exist a little bit in a cloud. But the problem is, I think it's difficult to evaluate them then from a Hall of Fame status standpoint when we have other guys who are either admitted users or were part of testimony or these type of things. Like McGuire was, Bonds has never admitted, but was part of a legal battle over the issue. And Ernie, it may come down to this. It may come down to, we're talking about the elite of the elite versus guys that not as many people care about.
Right. And that's what I think that's a good part of it. And I do recall that Piazza admitted to Andro and stopped taking it when McGuire was questioned about it.
Right.
Or when McGuire stopped taking it. And that was human growth hormone of some sort, I believe, not necessarily a steroid. And
human growth hormone is, but they weren't testing for human growth hormone. Baseball didn't test for human growth hormone. There was no test for it. And as far as Andrew goes, that was an over-the-counter product that hadn't been outlawed.
Correct.
So.
Yeah. Well, I think it does come down to, you know, who do we care about? who don't we? But I still, you know, I understand the point of view of, you know, Clemens and Bonds. I understand the perspective. I just struggle because they were bona fide. Those are two guys that I in my mind put in a different category. Do I put them in? I don't know. I'm not sure. But they're two guys that are above and beyond everybody else. But,
well,
you know, it's still a tough one.
What do you want to do with them?
What I wanted to do is if I suspected, I would not vote for them, you know, and just let it. I wouldn't ultimately vote for them, but I wouldn't have voted for anybody who had a suspicion of,
right,
them, you know, and that's just what I would have done, and not included those guys.
Right. And I'm probably more in alignment with you. And
right.
Here's the other thing. I think some of those guys that you mentioned, maybe not Piazza, but I think Bagwell, and I know what Bagwell did, I know what he produced. To me, he's still a borderline Hall of Famer anyway. So if I get a guy who's a borderline Hall of Famer and there are questions about him, well, I'm not putting you in. Now, if Bagwell was Bonds, and now I got a guy who's an absolute Hall of Famer and there's just some speculation about, well, I'll probably have to vote that guy in unless there's more significant evidence. But granted, it is a gray area. The entire era lives under a cloud of PED potential abuse. And in some way, all these guys are under suspicion, whether they did or right. whether they didn't, you know, and that's unfortunate. It's unfortunate, but you know, it's the nature of a players union that didn't act, boldly, in favor of testing because, you know, the guys who were doing it, presumably doing it the right way, should have been the most vociferous in their attempts right. to get the players union to do testing, to do thorough testing.
Right.
You know, the right. Chipper Joneses and the Jeters and the Albert Pujolses, these are the guys who should have been screaming their heads off to test.
And Frank Thomas.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
but there would have been too much black sheep, I'm sure, if they had screamed
probably
their buddies.
But you know,
give a hole to include a wing of, you know, the steroid era. You know, that would be gutsy of them to do that. And I'd also like your perspective on amphetamines. You know, I know that, you know, they kept people awake for the second game. Yeah. You know, and it's hard to point yeah. to the performance enhancing aspect of it.
Yeah.
But anyway, appreciate the
Thank
time.
Thank you, Ernie. Good job. Yeah, the issue of amphetamines has long been discussed. I don't know the timeline in terms of amphetamines until in terms of when they were first allegedly introduced into the game, but they certainly were performance enhancing in a different manner. I don't think there's any direct tie between amphetamines and improved athletic performance, although anything that allows you to stay alert, awake, and make it through a season, again, you're taking it for a reason. So I grant you, these are all gray areas. They almost need to be examined on a case-by-case basis, yet in examining things on a case-by-case basis, you can make errors. You can make mistakes. And you're talking about the charge here is significant. The charge is these voters are charged with evaluating the whole careers of an individual to determine whether they ultimately get a place in the most storied building in baseball history, Cooperstown. And so the charge that these men and women carry is significant. It's not to be taken lightly. You do not want to spit unnecessarily on the career, the 20-year career of some incredibly gifted athlete. At the same time, these drugs were against the law, whether they were against the rules all the time or not. And you not only cheated the game, you cheated yourself, you cheated the fans. Baseball has allegedly always been concerned about the integrity of the game, thus the notice in every clubhouse about gambling and the ills of gambling. That's the nature of the game. But from my perspective, and listen, maybe time will soften the opinions of some, or maybe time will phase out older voters in favor of newer voters who have different concerns, who weren't necessarily a part of the era, who view things differently than their older brethren. So maybe as the voting block changes, as the older voters get phased out and newer voters are included, then maybe over time the votes will turn in the favor of some of these individuals. Personally, I hope not. I don't think they belong. I think that they cheated the game. They cheated all of us. I don't think Mark McGwire should ever sniff the Hall of Fame. And of course, in my opinion, he wasn't a Hall of Fame player anyway. I never viewed Mark McGwire as a Hall of Fame player. So when you add in all the nonsense, that's an easy call for me. Bonds is a tougher call because Bonds was a Hall of Fame player and a five-tool player before he ever embarked on alleged PED use. But for me, I'm sorry, Bonds, Clemens, McGwire, all these guys, I would never vote them in. Never. They'd be in permanent limbo like Pete Rose for a different reason. They impacted the integrity of the game. They knew what they were doing. I don't think that excuses should be made for them. I don't think they belong in the Hall of Fame. Test says, Walt, they still got to hit the pitch. That's irrelevant. Steroids helped them hit the pitch, as we've explained. World-class expert, leading authority, explained it in detail. They hit the pitch because they took steroids. They hit it further because they took steroids. They hit it initially because they took steroids. They hit it further because they took steroids. Every element. Text says, what about coaches who get caught cheating? I'm not sure what you mean by that. Patrick, welcome to the show.
How you doing, Walt?
Hey, appreciate you getting in there, Patrick.
No problem. Hey, so I missed a good bit of your show because I've been out of town, and I just heard the stuff about the baseball and steroids. My take on it is, you know, Major League Baseball decided they were going to implement drug testing in, what, the late 80s, early 90s, but then they didn't do anything with it. That's kind of my problem. I mean, if you're gonna say you're gonna do it, then you know you should go ahead and start doing the testing. You know, instead of just kind of saying, well, we're gonna do it and then not for 15 or 20 years. You know, and I'm with you. I'm you know, I think Ken Griffey Jr. was probably one of the best players that ever lived. You know, and there's no doubt in my mind he did not use steroids.
Well, Major League Baseball is disingenuous in this whole thing anyway, because during the whole home run derby era, they knew exactly what was going on, and they didn't want to know. They closed their eyes to all of it, and they didn't want to know.
And see, that's my problem. I think if you're gonna turn the blind eye, and you're gonna say, hey, we're gonna test for steroids, and then you don't do it for 20 years, and then you know. I think at some point you're going to have to let the guys in, but you're going to have to put a steroid era a wing, or you're going to have to do something. But you know, if it wasn't for Bonds and Sosa, you know, in 98, 97, 98, in that time, I mean, who knows where baseball is? Because you know, baseball was ready to fall off the face of the earth. You know, attendance was down because of the strike. People didn't care. Then those two guys pretty much saved baseball for, you know, the years to come.
Well, they saved it and they ruined it. They saved it in a short term, but in the long term they ruined it, and they've left in their wake a whole era of suspicion and cloud, and we can't decipher any of it. And they've ruined all the historical numbers, which always was the sort of the backbone of the game. I mean, that's all been ruined. So, I mean, baseball hurt itself. I mean, you're right. It was a difficult time. And in the short term, it certainly helped baseball. But it was short-sighted. In the long term, it damaged the game irreparably. I mean, it created a bunch of false records, Patrick, in a game that where the numbers always mattered. I mean, am I to believe that Barry Bonds is the all-time leading home run hitter? I don't.
I don't either. I'm completely with you. But I just think if you're going to turn the blind eye and you're going to let these guys do it when you had a policy in place, then, you know, it's pretty hypocritical to keep them out when you didn't really do anything about it.
Yep,
you know?
That's an issue. Yep. Thank you, Patrick.
Yeah, no problem. Appreciate the call. Have a good one.
You know, we got some breaking news a little bit ago, and I'll mention it now and we'll discuss a little when we come back, I guess. But David Skara, not going to be with the Clemson basketball team next year. David Skara going to graduate, that's the plan, and go pro. Is that it, Ramona?
That's right. He graduates in May with an economics degree, and then he's gonna pursue his professional career.
Well, good for him. In related news, I've also declared for the draft, thinking that I may go earlier. I I'm surprised. Look, I think David Skura was a really versatile component part for this team this year, and I thought he was going to be an improved, really versatile component part for this team next year and maybe have a bigger role. Quite frankly, I'm stunned is what I am. Quick break. We'll be back.
The Clemson baseball team returns home to Doug Kingsmore Stadium this weekend as the Tigers host the Miami Hurricanes in a pivotal ACC showdown. First pitch is set for 6:30 p.m. on Friday, 5 p.m. on Saturday, and 1 p.m. on Sunday, with a pregame show beginning 30 minutes before each game on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Catch all the action this season from first pitch to the last out right here on WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
Hey, Tiger fans, this is Taj Boyd with a new way to experience the Clemson family like never before. Lakeside Lodge Clemson is a condo resort opening fall 2019 right on Lake Hartwell, just across the lake from Death Valley. It combines the best parts of owning a property on the lake with the amenities of a hotel such as housekeeping, great food, and more. Find out why I'm all in for Lakeside Lodge Clemson at lakesidelodgeclemson.com. That's lakesidelodgeclemson.com.
You know Joe's New York Pizza is all about the sauce because I've told you so. Here's the thing, people. They have outrageous wings as well. They're not fried. And if you're up to the task, you can even get them with Cajun Asian sauce. Their meatballs and marinara come with their famous garlic knots. And remember, if you have certain food allergies, Joe's offers gluten-free. Joe's has delivery, and they're great for fundraisers. And the Clemson location caters with two locations in Seneca and Clemson. Joe's New York Pizza.
It's Dabo again. One of the fastest growing crimes these days is package theft. We're all ordering more online, and a stack of boxes on your front porch can be quite the temptation. Priority One Security provides the protection you need with their video doorbell system. You can record any movement or answer the door from your smartphone, no matter where you are. Priority One, trust in us.
See us on the web at PriorityOneSecurity.com. That's Priority, the number one, Security.com. 888-407-SAFE.
Spring has sprung, and so has pollen. Don't let the outside stay in. A clean like no other with Zero Res. Zero Res Carpet and Air Duct Cleaning. Extreme clean like new carpets. No one can clean like Zero Res because they use empowered water and leave no residue behind. Mention my name, Mickey Plyler, and receive three rooms for $129 and a free hallway. Call 864-558-7300 or visit ZeroResGreenville.com to make your appointment. Zero Res, spell it backwards or forwards, it's the right way to clean.
It's always a good time to look and feel good. At Roosters Men's Grooming Center, you can count on a team that will make you feel your absolute best. The many services provided will keep you coming back for more. Come by for anything from a close shave and professional haircut to a 7-step facial shave. Fellas, treat yourself. You deserve it. Don't have enough time on your hands for the full service? Ask us about our express cut. Call 864-884-8920 to make your appointment.
Hendrick Honda is surrounded by colleges and universities. Let Hendrick Honda Easily help you on the path to success with our first-time buyer and college graduate programs. At Hendrick Honda Easily, their sales team is fair, fast, easy, and transparent, here to help you buy your new or pre-owned Hendrick Honda Easily vehicle. Their on-site service department and extended customer service ensures your vehicle will get continuous support. Hendrick Honda Easily, in the heart of the upstate at 4609 Callan Memorial Highway and online at HendrickHondaSC.com. Again, that's HendrickHondaSC.com.
The South Carolina Football Hall of Fame and Ingalls Markets invite you to join us for the 4th Annual Golfer Gun Tournament, presented by Miller Direct and the Trail Corporation, April 19th. Spend time with local celebrities and football legends while enjoying a round of golf at the Preserve at Verde or shooting sporting clays at McConnell Farms. For pricing, reservations, and a list of celebrity appearances, visit scfootballhof.org. That's scfootballhof.org.
It's a great time to buy a new car, and the best place to shop for one is Walhalla's Ford dealer, Edwards Auto Sales. In business for over 50 years, you'll find a great selection of new and certified pre-owned Fords, plus lots of local trade-ins. The Edwards family believes in customer service and was voted Oconee's best new car dealer for the fifth year in a row in 2016. For the best price, best service, and the best car buying experience, go see Edwards Auto Sales, Highway 28 in Walhalla.
Road Rage with Walt Zepsula.
You gotta calm down. You're getting a little emotional.
On 105.5 The Roar.
Tula Road Rage, we're WCCP 105.5 The Roar. We are back. Vic writes he's from Croatia, probably going to pursue a career in Europe. Well, yeah, it's not going to be here. I mean, you know, no offense, David Scar, he's not, you know, he's not going to play in the NBA here. Although, you know, his type of player, there's often a role for. But I think he could have used another year of development, certainly. And to improve his overall game. And given that we don't know the status of a couple of the other guys, like Mitchell and Reed, with 100% certainty, more might have been asked of him next year. He might have been a bigger part of the offense. I'm just surprised. That came out of left field to me this afternoon. I did not expect David Scara to be leaving Clemson. You know, I didn't expect. Andrew writes, I think the difference in a spitball and steroids, if you get caught throwing a spitter, you're ejected from the game. If you're juicing, yeah, well, that's it. Yeah, well, I think that's true. You want to get in 654-7627. All right, I want to get back to my list, Ramona, which we haven't started yet, which is I went through all of the ACC players at the combine last night and this evening. This morning, I should say, and evaluated them against each other to try and determine what type of order they would come off the board the first couple nights of the draft. This, I looked at whatever it is, 60 players, and I've ranked the top 30, which will take us into round four by my estimation. And we'll discuss those players today, why I think they're going where they are and where they will go in relation to other ACC players. As I mentioned earlier, Bradley Chubb will come off first. He'll be the first ACC player taken. He'll go anywhere from 2 to 6, anywhere from the Giants at 2 to 6, which would be the Colts. You know, again, assuming that those teams retain their position. And my read on the Giants at 2, and maybe I'll be proven wrong, I know that they love Barkley, and I know they love Chubb. Gettleman is Gettleman's a line of scrimmage guy. And so it'd be very difficult to make that pick between Barkley and Chubb if the Giants stay at 2 and go non-quarterback. I almost had the feeling, look, there were early rumors that the Giants like Rosen. There have been some late rumors that the Giants like Rosen. But I'm almost of the opinion that if the Giants are going to stay at 2 until they know what Cleveland does, if Cleveland takes Allen instead of Darnold, as of today, and this may change later tonight, but as of today, I would think the Giants would stay at 2 and take Darnold. I would think. And again, you're going to have teams like Buffalo, maybe even Arizona, maybe Miami, maybe even New Orleans that makes a run up at a quarterback. So this is the most interesting draft in NFL history because of the quarterbacks. I've covered this a long time, and I think this is the most interesting go-round ever. And I also think it's the one of the most difficult to evaluate. In fact, I'm evaluating it from the back end forward, which is something I never do. And the reason is because I can't be certain of anything. In the generally, at some point, some certainty begins to develop up front. There's zero certainty up front. I mean, I can tell you the group of players that are going to go up front, but I can't begin to tell you the order because I don't know what Cleveland's doing at one. Without knowing what Cleveland's doing at one, I can't possibly even make an educated guess as to what the Giants are doing at two or anything beyond that, and whether the Giants are even staying there. And the Giants are going to hold that position till late. And if some team like Buffalo makes them an insane offer, they'll deal out of it. That's what they're waiting for. That and to see which quarterback, I think, falls to them. But you're going to see, look, we saw remarkable movement in last year's draft when teams like Houston and Kansas City went after their guys. And you're going to see that again this year. We've already seen it to an extent. The Jets have already done it. But we're going to see more of it before all is said and done. When I look at the ACC players in the draft, again, I think Chubb comes first. He's between pick 2 and 6. The next ACC player will be Tremaine Edmonds. As I mentioned earlier, Edmonds is intriguing because of his insane athletic ability, because of his great length, because he's only 19. And but the same things that make him fascinating also make him a more difficult evaluation. Will he fulfill his promise? Because he has a higher ceiling than a guy like Roquan Smith does. His athletic potential is better than Roquan Smith's. But Smith's a better football player right now. So in part, when you're looking at, say, linebackers at the top of this draft, you have to determine what those guys are. And in the case of Tremaine Edmonds, I'm not sure what he is. He's an inside linebacker right now who takes a lot of false steps and creeps up on every play, which sometimes puts him out of position. He looks to me like the type of body type, and from the little bit we've seen, that could excel as a 3-4 outside linebacker as a pass rusher. But you've got to make those decisions. Even Roquan Smith, you've got to decide what Roquan Smith is. He was a middle linebacker at Georgia who got washed away in the Oklahoma game. Is he a middle linebacker at the pro level? If he is, you better have big defensive tackles to keep the opposing defensive lines off him, keep him clean, and let him run to the ball and make plays. Otherwise, he's a will. He's a will who you attach to the three technique. And anywhere the three technique goes, he goes. And so these are the questions that knowledgeable people will be asking up front. Not any of these people who cover the draft, but they'll be the question. And so Tremaine Edmonds will be the second ACC player off the board. And Edmonds, the earliest I could see Edmonds go, I guess in theory there's a chance he could go as high as 5. It's unlikely. I think the likely earliest spot for Edmonds is 6. And there's a little bit more flexibility where Edmonds is concerned, depending on what directions teams go. I think you're talking 6 through 12, somewhere in that range for Edmonds. And I don't think he goes earlier than the Colts. I don't think he goes later than the Dolphins. But again, it depends on how other dominoes fall. So Tremaine Edmonds would be my second ACC player off the board. My third ACC player off the board is the toughest call of all, because I think the next 4 guys, 3 through 6, are all in the exact same range. And they could go in any order depending on how the early picks come off the board and depending on team needs. 3 through 6 for me are dead even. I mean, they're all in the exact same area. They're all somewhere in the vicinity of 15, somewhere in that range. And they could go, you know, 5 picks higher, 5 picks later, depending on how they come off. Number 3, I have Derwin James. Derwin James is essentially a strong safety. He has versatility. He's a big athletic guy. He doesn't always show up on film. There are times he does not look as physical as a guy his size with his athletic ability ought to. He obviously went through a period where he was injured and had to recover from that. It's an issue of what you do with him. I mean, I think that primarily he's a strong safety type with some versatility to his game. I think the earliest he could come off the board would be 7 to Tampa Bay, and I think the latest he could come off the board would be, say, 17 in that range. The other 3 players in the same range, and so I'll put, for the sake of argument, because I have to put somebody first, I'll put Derwin James in that 3rd spot. But again, 3 through 6, dead even in terms of when they're coming off the board. 4, I'm putting Lamar Jackson. I know he scored a 13 on his Wonderlic. I know that his mother is representing him. I know that he's done a lot of things to hurt himself during this process. I get all that. I still think someone's going to draft him in round 1. And because of the pressure to take a quarterback, if what I think happens and the 4 quarterbacks, the top 4 all go early, then Lamar Jackson's next. And at that stage, the desperate are going to show their desperation, which is why I think, you know, he could go as high as, say, 11. In terms of where I would slot him, you know, I'd put him 27, 28, somewhere in that range. Although I think he has immense potential. But I'm going to have him go off 4th, and what it means to me is the middle of round 1 is what we're talking about. DJ Moore, the wide receiver of Maryland. I'm also having Moore in the same range. I have never been completely convinced that Calvin Ridley will be the first receiver taken in this draft, and I remain less than convinced. He may. I'm not saying he won't go first. I'm saying that I think he has some competition. I think his competition is DJ Moore. Moore is bigger. He's more athletic. He's more physical. There are a lot of things to like about DJ Moore. And so I think DJ Moore is going to come off in this range. Again, he'll go anywhere from... the earliest I could see him going would be Green Bay at 14, and he could go to the end of the round. He could go from 14 to, say, Philadelphia at the end of the round. He's in that range. For the sake of this exercise, I put him 5th as the 5th ACC player to come off the board. I do think he is a round 1 player. I think he's a round 1 player. The next guy on my list is Jair Alexander. You know, Alexander obviously was a sort of conscientious objector, at least it seemed. He had an injury. You know, like some other guys in recent times, he seemed like he didn't seem all that anxious to me to get back to playing. And so there's that. You know, I just did it. You know, Texas just wrote me Maryland's not in the ACC. I just did it. I put DJ Moore, Maryland, just based on football tradition in the ACC. Yeah, you're right. We'll take a quick break. 654-7627. We'll be right back.
Another hour of great sports talk from the Priority One Security Studios. We are WCCP, Clemson, Greenville. 105.5, The Roar.
Love driving again and enjoy no payments for up to 90 days at State Credit Union. And with rates as low as 1.99% APR on new cars, now is the perfect time to buy. Plus, applying for your new car loan is fast and easy. Call, click, or stop by any of the 20 statewide branches of State Credit Union today. Learn more on